This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, April 18th, meeting of the Employee Assembly. It is 12:18 p.m. Are there any late additions to today's agenda? Jason?
Transportation Hearings Appeal Board.
Okay. Any other additions?
Should we touch base again on the retreat to Geneva? Was ever finalized with that?
We could.
Under old business.
Under old business, yep. I can add that in there. I think we finalized that we were going to move it to the June. But. What?
I don't know.
Yeah. So. We can talk about it. Okay. We can take a quick look at the minutes from the last meeting.
Move to approve.
Second that. All in favor? Great. Okay, the next piece is business of the day, so we're going to meet our employee elected trustee candidates. And since we have some NPCs, do you guys want to come up to the table or to chat? Or?
Sure.
So I think I'll have the EA members go around the room and introduce ourselves, and if you guys can introduce yourselves to us as well. I'm Tanya Grove. I'm chair of the assembly, and I work in the Department of Theater, Film, and Dance.
Gary Stewart, director of community relations.
I'm sorry for laughing. I could follow my head. I'm Leslie Morris, and I work at the hotel school, and I'm the chair of the communications committee.
Gemma Alcorn, I'm the Geneva rep.
Bridget Cruselli, I work in Cal's Business Partnerships and Foundation Relations, and I'm the vice chair in terms of operations.
I see the food is still in the same place.
The food is still in the same place.
David Brooks, I work for Architecture and Information Technology.
I'm Lavanya Sine. I work at the school, and I chair the education.
I'm
Melissa
Kitchen. I'm a technician in the Department of Work.
Jason Seymour. I work in computing and information science.
And then if we can have our employee elected trustee candidates.
My name is Carl Solansky. I'm an alumni of the university, graduate in the early 1990s. I've been working since the 90s at Wilson and Newman Labs, parts of the physics department. My work centers around the design and construction of the next accelerator that will replace one that's currently under alumni field. These projects are 10, 20 years in length, so it's sort of neat that your whole career can revolve around building one thing. I'm also heavily involved in our student outreach. Outreach to our own engineering college, outreach to local high schools, Dryden Elementary Schools, GIAC, things like that. That's a big element of my work. And my interest in running for employee trustee centers around providing what I call opportunities in the broad sense for employees. I got to know a lot of people on campus at all four of the candidate paths. And I'm concerned about educational opportunities. How can employees grow? How can we internally grow our employees? And I've been talking with Lavanya about issues with employee degree program and access to education, but also things like on-the-job training, apprenticeship training, and other ways to enhance the capacity of our staff. And secondarily to that, I'm also interested in how, with a better trained and educated staff, will they have room for advancement? Will they be able to move into higher paying jobs, positions of more influence, positions that will challenge them to keep them motivated, keep them part of the campus community? So that's, I think, it's going to sort of my interest, and thank you very much for having me. having the opportunity to talk to you.
Thanks, Carl.
Hi, I'm Greg Mazzia. I'm the Director of Food and Beverage over at the Statler Hotel. So I oversee the restaurant, the ground floor operation, Max and Terrace, financial responsibility for our culinary department, banquets and catering, conference services, all that fun stuff over there. So if you're ever at the Statler, make sure you say hello. I am also a graduate. I'm a 2009 graduate. Before that, I finished culinary school at the Culinary Institute of America. I was classically trained there, went and worked in industry for a little bit, and then decided to come here more of a non-traditional student, finished my bachelor's. Worked in Los Angeles for a couple of years, and then decided to come back to Ithaca when I got a call from the general manager of the hotel that said, we've got a job and we'd like you to consider it. I love Cornell. I think, you know, every time I start talking about it, I get a big smile on my face, like I would say most of us do. Because it's a great place to be, it's a great place to work, it's a great place to live, and I think we can do even bigger things and even better things as we look to the future at Cornell. So excited to be a part of the process. The last time I was here at Cornell, I was actively involved in campus governance and was a part of as many different things as I could get part of. So this felt like the right move for me at the right time because I feel like I have the time, energy, and resources to commit to doing a really great job. So I'm excited to be here and say hello and get to meet all of you. Thank you.
Alan?
Hi, thank you. Well, hello. Some very familiar faces, some new. I, too, as all of our fine candidates, graduated from Cornell Arts and Sciences. I've had a number of positions, including a run on the employee assembly, your finance chair. I also have been involved in the trustee council. I was a trustee council member for 4 years and was an alum. Led a alumni club on Long Island for 4 years. And have been involved with the Cornell scene before coming here with our son, who was a student here for 4 years, and so pretty involved. Not as involved as I have been since joining the ranks of employee in 2002. Some of you will know me as the former Associate Director of Workforce Diversity, Equity, and Life Equality, commonly known as WDELT. That office was revamped, and at the same time, I assumed the position that I now hold as Director of Workforce Policy and Labor Relations. So I negotiate all of the bargaining unit contracts, the 7 contracts that the university has here and in other units such as New York City. I'm responsible at the university level for employee relations matters, employee labor relation matters, academic and non-academic policy matters, unemployment insurance matters, and investigating claims of harassment and discrimination, awarding disability accommodation, and religious accommodation. Main things that our office says that I'm responsible for. And so many of the things that our candidates are talking about are things that I work on every day, and I wholly support the types of things that have been discussed, whether it's educational opportunities, career growth. I'm part of a unit here called Organizational Effectiveness, which is working very closely on a new project. I don't know how much has been brought out yet, but anticipated to roll out in 2013 regarding just that factor, a new sort of career and a compensation combined program that I'm sure will be presented on, which is, sounds very fascinating and very good to me. And so we do that as a regular thing. I thought, well, this would be an opportunity to bring that expertise, Cornell experience, and alum experience into the boardroom. As an attorney for 25 years, I think I have the abilities, I know I have the desire to coordinate with trustees, present to trustees what they want to know from the employee elected trustee, which is what's on the minds of trustees. That's what they turn to that person. What's going on in campus? What's happening? Tell us. And I think I can do that, want to do that, bring back to you all and others what they're thinking about. Continue the dialogue while we are responsive to the employee survey, which is something I put in my literature. I think that's a rare and unique insight into employee engagement and where things are working well, where they're not working well. So I want to make sure that that's followed up on. I know the president is committed to it. He's communicated with the community. My boss, Mary Opperman, is tasked to do a lot of that work, as are the deans and vice presidents who we work with as well. So I have experience working with those groups at every level, frontline staff, managers, deans, provosts, their offices, et cetera. I think I'd be, now ready to move into the boardroom, shall we say. Hope that I get the opportunity to do it.
Thank you, Alan.
Hi, I'm Jamie Doan. I graduated from Cal's in 2006. I've been working for the ILR and the hotel school ever since then. So I've spent, since the age of 18, I've been on campus. And I'm loving it. It's been a great experience. And after the work I do at the hotel school is instructional support, distance learning support, basically anything with instructional technologies. And so that puts me at a sort of nexus between students, faculty, support staff, other units on campus like CIT, ATC. And so I've come into contact with so many different people who work for Cornell, and I just wanted the opportunity to try and represent them for the Board of Trustees. I think that the most important thing that we do as an institution is education and teaching our students. And the best way that we can support that as employees is supporting the faculty, supporting the research, supporting the students in their educational endeavors. And so I think it's really important that the Board of Trustees is able to hear from the employee perspective so that the employees can do their job, the staff can do their job to support the academic mission of the university. Thanks.
Okay. Anybody have questions?
Yay, non-traditional students. Yeah. I just wanted to say that our current employee trustee is very active for the employee assembly. So we're hoping that this candidate will continue in that tradition. And you're all really, really great candidates, and I wish we could elect all of you. I support your decision to run. And I just want to say that perhaps you consider running for DA if, for some reason you're not elected to the board, because I think that would be something nice to get to do in the meantime until the next election. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would echo Lester's.
Absolutely.
Is there anything that we could answer for you about the EA and our relationship with the trustee, or?
No, I support Leslie's comments about being active with the EA. Myself, I'm characteristically happy to depart because we have an unscheduled HR council meeting today. It's usually the alternate Wednesday, which works out nicely, but today there was a special meeting to go over policy. One of the things that came out of the survey, the consistency or lack thereof of implementing policy, so we're actually working on that issue today. So I think you're right about that. Beth has done a great job. My years here, she was at meetings and keeping in contact.
Have any of the candidates asked any of the current trustees what they want from an employee-elected trustee?
Yes, Beth and the graduate student trustee are very easy to get in touch with. Nelson is also the elected trustees on campus. They're very approachable and very easy to get in touch with. And they've helped a great deal explain the role to me and what is expected, what exactly is expected of the trustee by the EA. That has been said somewhat, and also some of the past trustees. I think there wasn't one for the tradition. Most of the trustee candidates came from the EA in the late 80s and early 90s. And so some of them were helpful to me to sort of explain the situation.
I spoke to former elected trustees to see what their role was, and that's where I got the line that really trustees ask them what's going on campus as one of the main things that they do. And I thought I might try to share, if the trustees permitted, a task force that would be assigned to the employee survey to really monitor, if you will, although this president is so committed to it. But still, I think it's good to have a trustee eye and accountability factor nonetheless. So they asked us yesterday at the presentation what we do in the first 6 months, and I think I would try to get that rolling with the trustees. But we've all heard from Beth at a meeting as to what her take on the job is. She's very helpful as usual.
I spoke with both Beth and Carolyn Newman. I think Carolyn is either emeritus now.
She's emeritus, yeah.
spoke with her about her experience on the board. She said it's such an interesting dynamic than what people really think happens inside those meetings sometimes. And she said it's everyone is really out for the betterment of Cornell, and egos and titles and all of those things are set aside, and then, you know, a question will come up and they'll say, you know, Beth, what do you think? Or whoever the employee elected trustee is, how do you feel that this might impact? So I definitely think that they want somebody involved, but really I think the key too is somebody who's committed to the big picture of Cornell and what...
Yes.
Sure.
Another
protest.
We
had one last time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize.
Alan, you better stay here. I'm sorry for that.
No, that's quite all right. So I think, you know, she said it's not like you would expect where, you know, it's you just provide input and you might get to say one thing in a meeting, but it's how you handle yourself in committees and how you bring back communication and have a real pulse of what's going on. So she provided a lot of great insight. So.
Thank you.
Other questions or thoughts on this? Well,
I have a question for the
sure.
EA or something like that. One of the things that I've grown concerned about as I don't want to say the outsider candidate, but there are a large body of people on campus that aren't involved in the EA that don't know what it is, that don't know what a trustee is. And as I talked to these people in the last few weeks, how do we engage them and how do we get them involved? And I know there's been this recent survey about the effectiveness of the EA, and you're, let's say, a self-selected bunch. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there's a lot of people that opt out, and that outreach to these groups is important. And as potentially a trustee, I want to think about that, and I want to hear from people who have already been thinking about it.
Yeah, so it's a big problem and one we've acknowledged
for.
This is something that I'm concerned about.
Right, it's an issue that always comes up, and we've, you know, tried different strategies of different things. You know, last year, Leslie Meyerhoff and I think a couple other people went and did time clock meetings with folks in dining and facilities and stuff like that. You know, Leslie worked really hard with her group on the survey to kind of get the word out to find out how we can better inform people. But what we're finding is we get a lot of people who hear word of mouth. I mean, there's a lot of people who are on the EA because they know someone who's either on the EA or involved in a committee or something like that. And, you know, it's hard to reach out, and I don't know if we've found a great solution.
I just had a thought the other day about sort of in conjunction with this and with the balloting process for the elections. In IT, we know whenever a new employee comes in, does this person have daily computer access needs or not? So I know in our HR department, that is something that they know. I don't know what it is across campus for their different offices, but when we switch to electronic only message delivery, we know who has computer access and who doesn't. So couldn't there be more paper messaging for people that we know don't have regular computer access?
Yes. If you don't get elected, please.
we spent hours just talking about that particular issue, and
one we know who the people are. I mean, we know we have it in the system.
Yeah,
we know exactly.
Right. So one of the things, and Ari could talk about this too. One of the things that we really went around with this year is the notion of electronic only balloting.
And we thought that that wasn't really a fair thing to do because there are employees who don't access their computers. So we put out a postcard. Is that what it was? A postcard or something to each employee that isn't using and doesn't have an active net ID.
Yes, there are 130 employees who have not used their net ID out of about 10,000.
Right.
There's more people that don't actively use their net ID.
Definitely.
No, that's people who have not used their net ID. Everybody else has used their net ID.
They may have used it, but they've
come off.
How often?
Like used in the last month, used in the last year, used in the last 10 years.
Right.
I could go back and run that query, but I believe they've all used it somewhat recently, yeah. Like within the last year.
One of the other things we've talked about is the EA needs to be bigger, and we've expanded a little.
Right, we went from 13 to 19.
I pitched a plan a couple years ago that would have the EA at 33. We looked at peer institutions, that what other people are doing. You'd actually get designated pockets around campus. I failed miserably at this attempt, and it was a low light of my career, and I'm leaving the EA a bitter. So yeah, I mean, I think you're right, though. The thing just needs to have a little more gravitas than it does.
And it may be something, certainly, you know, as a new employee, like a trustee, whomever comes in, that may be something that you can join us in trying to put forward. But we do recognize the problem of not being able to consistently and easily reach employees who don't actively sit in front of a computer like many of us do. And we talked quite a bit with Mary about that as well. And, you know, in this, her comment back was, you know, most of university communications do go out through email because almost everyone has access to a computer lab, you know, and there's a lot of questions about that, but they're trying to go more paperless.
And we've evolved with the times, you know, because one of our big communication methods was the printed paw print, which is not printed anymore. But previously, last year, we introduced the employee e-news, which goes out to all employees. That's a quarterly email that goes out. We think we're really starting to deep up the communications, but reaching the Cornell community, whether you're the EA or any other body on campus, is incredibly difficult. It's a theme that is on the top of our agenda all the time in almost the past 3-4 years, you can go back, and we have been focusing on how do we reach the people more? How do we get them to know more about us? How can they find us? How can they get engaged? And I think we're making slow progress, but if somebody has the secret answer,
in the back pocket, we've been waiting.
So.
And I think part of it, too, is, you know, we're getting the communication out there, but are people having time to read it? So that's one piece. And then also, you know, just for us, is getting people who have the time to say, I can get out of my office to be on a committee or come to a meeting. I mean, it's really hard. I mean, even with all of us sitting here, it's hard to get out of your office every day to do it. David?
Did we ever investigate getting new staff information about the EA, like at the
The onboarding center?
What do you call it when you come in? Orientation?
The Welcome to Cornell. So there's we are now included on some the paperwork that comes when you go to the onboarding center. There's two information sheets that are giving out, and they both have information on the EA on them. Any other thoughts, questions, comments? Well, thank you guys for coming. You are welcome to stay and continue in our discussion. Alan, I know you've got to go.
Carry on.
But the rest of you, welcome to stay. And if you have any questions after this or comments, feel free to email any one of us.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. So moving on, report from the chair. I don't really have much to report at the moment. We do have a meeting with Mary next week. Does anybody have anything that they can think of that they would like us to bring to her for our meeting? No? One of the things I am going to talk with her about is the idea that we had talked about at one of our last meetings about a notice and respond type of thing for employees. Just to see where we could go with that a little bit more. The other thing that I can share is I did hear back from President Scorton on our resolution on the academic calendar, our support of the new academic calendar. And he said thank you. He thinks it's great. They're waiting for it to kind of go through all of the channels before he gives a formal response. But he appreciated our support of the new calendar and staff days off. So that is all that I had. And if anybody can think of anything they want me to share with Mary, let me know. Yeah.
Can you ask her? I know they've been talking about, like, through the staff survey, they want to implement supervisory reviews,
mm-hmm.
annual reviews. If she has any, you know, concrete thoughts on that yet, or like some kind of game plan. You can tell her I asked.
Yeah. She'll know that. She'll know that you. She'll know it's from you. Yeah.
Thank you.
So moving on to committee reports. Leslie, you want to talk about the survey?
Sure. The survey went out the day before Easter break. So my apologies. This time you got all the out of office responses.
And Amy. And yes, so. All like thousands
that was not
of them.
Good, that was not good timing.
I knew everyone at the university was on vacation.
Yeah. So, anyway, let's see. We sent out, I'm trying to read this. Oh, we sent out 8,250 surveys electronically. So far, we've gotten back 3,049, which is pretty good. So, our response rate so far is around 37%. We sent out 388 paper surveys to people who had non-active or not very active NAT IDs, and we've received 20 back so far. We had a really good response on the second reminder, I think, because it was better timing. So, as you can see, it went way up. So this is our first send. This is our second send. And we're going to send it out one more time. Apparently there was some questions about people got emails that said they weren't staff, so mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a classification issue.
Yeah, I think Ari, I forwarded a couple of those to you. Did you have any thoughts on the survey? There were a couple people who said that they weren't staff who gotten it, and I think I forwarded to you in the questions.
I wasn't involved in the technical administration at all.
Gotcha.
SRI.
Oh, okay. Because they.
What?
No, they just said they got the names from us, so I just assumed it was you.
I just wondered if it was. If they really are staff classified but don't realize it.
I went and I looked at some of the names.
Right.
And they have. And on their listing on Cornell's website, they say academic under employee type. So.
Right, but that could be academic support. Right.
Okay.
Right. Right. So I think I think it might be, you know, if they're faculty. Yeah. Or, yeah. If they're faculty.
Non-professorial.
No, because I checked that and I looked at a couple of people who are lecturers and they're listed as academic. I did look at that.
Lecturers are non-professorial.
They are non-professorial.
Right.
They are considered staff.
Okay.
They can vote for us.
No, I know that, but would they? never mind. Semantics.
So I think maybe they just don't realize the classified status. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I used the same list that Marnie used for the employee engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what's going on with that. So that's proceeding. Well, anybody have any questions about that?
I had a couple of people who asked about how is it confidential if you know I didn't send it. I didn't respond, so I have written back and said confidential is not enough. In a very nice way.
Sorry, no, that was bad. I'll be in touch with you, Amy, about how we'll award the Kindle. Because we've done it before, but I wasn't intimately involved with that. So.
You don't have any data that you use it?
No.
You just know
what's been coming. I won't compile it. I think we're all done. And then we should probably have a conversation about how we... You know, we'll probably meet, maybe the communications committee will meet, and then we'll report back, and then we can start out what we want to do with that information, and the communications committee can come up with
some suggestions.
What have individual departments been doing in terms of response to the employee survey? So, for instance, our group, and we're the smallest unit on campus, so between here and Albany and Washington, there's 12 of us. We're having a meeting tomorrow on, you know, stuff that came out of the survey.
Oh, you're talking about the employee engagement survey?
Yeah. Like, I'm curious about, like, what's been going on in other units and if there's been any direct follow-up on stuff.
So, for when we met with Mary and David last week, there was some talk about, like, the hotel school has met about it. Bridget and Jem, I think,
and Melissa and I are having an individual meeting with the dean
of Cal to see where they are with that. But Mary has given every, I guess, unit or whatever, basically the spring semester to get a meeting and start moving forward with it. And they said that we should be following up with our individual, like, colleges or units to see what's going on.
We had Hugh met with all of his direct reports. He disseminated information to them, and my supervisor said we got all the information and all the responses, and wow, and that's how ours went. So it just came down a tiny bit, and then so.
What the wow mean?
Wow.
David?
AAP, we just had a staff retreat, and our dean talked at length about the results of the survey. And he compared not only like the percentages university wide, but the percentages of our local and AAP, which was pretty interesting because, you know, some of it was not happy.
Favorable.
You know? But, I mean, he didn't suggest any resolutions, but at least he discussed it all. And, you know, people had the opportunity to make comments. And,
did people feel comfortable making comments?
Was your HR rep there?
I'm trying to remember her name. Kayla?
Yep.
Yeah, she was there. And we're trying to get her to have more of a presence in AAP because there really is no good HR representative there, so hopefully she'll become more involved with us. But, you know, it was a start. At least it was discussed. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm sure they didn't like some of it. You know.
Anybody else hear anything in their departments or units?
I've heard that CIS is scheduled for April 25th.
Okay. So it's getting out there, trickling a little bit.
Good.
Leslie, did you have anything else on the our survey?
Not anything else on our survey.
About the EAE news.
I want to thank everybody for responding to the first draft that went around via email, and I think we have a really good issue, and I'm so excited about all the kudos you got. That was like so cool. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to send out the revised via email, but I do have a draft here. I don't think I have enough for everybody, but. I'd love for this to go out on Monday. Are you think that might be possible? Okay. So then it'll be out before the voting ends. So just people have another reminder.
Do you think we could ever get anything on the homepage when this comes out, just like for a day?
I don't know.
You know.
So could we get like a
just reminding people that's in their inbox?
Yeah. And just be like a little item.
I can't do that.
That'd be nice.
What would be? Go ahead. Sorry.
Since we're discussing the content, I was going to suggest shortening the part about voting because we're going to send at least one more email to everybody who hasn't voted with the link to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in addition to mentioning, you know, check your inbox for that voting email. We could mention committee recruitment. This might be a good time.
Mm-hmm. What recruitment?
Committee
recruitment.
For all the employee assembly committees.
Oh, they said there's a paragraph in there.
But maybe we could move that up.
Okay.
To sort of top billing because we're already getting them at least once more just about voting in separate emails.
And Leslie, thanks again for putting it all together.
Yes, thank
Thank you.
So, moving on to a UA update, Bridget is not here. Were you at the last meeting? You were on vacation, and I was with a sick car. So, I was not there. Yeah, I was not there, but the highlights are it went till after 7 p.m. when it was supposed to end at 6. But they did get Resolution 7 passed, which was the Title IX resolution moving sexual harassment to 6.4. Is that right?
Sorry, that's right, isn't it? 6.4.
Yeah.
The right number.
I know. So that's kind of the big news from the UA meeting. They were also scheduled to talk about something put forward by Kathy Zoner and campus police about gorge safety. No? They didn't next time. Next time, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, hopefully that'll be coming in soon. It's actually a proposal that dates back several years to prohibit swimming in the gorges. And there was an interesting article in the Cornell Alumni Magazine in November of 08 that I think deals with the subject in interesting detail.
Any other thing you want? Because you were at the UA meetings. Anything else to share in Bridget's absence?
There may also be a proposal coming from Mary Beth Brandt with some other changes to the campus code of conduct dealing with fake IDs and I don't think there's anything employee related.
Oh, the boot.
Oh, that's right. The towing, that's right. There was also discussion about towing on campus. So right now the university policy is to tow illegally parked vehicles. And, you know, basically the tow companies get all that money for moving cars. What Cornell is proposing now is to put a boot on a vehicle if it's illegally parked or if there's violations on that vehicle. And they'll put a boot and then Cornell will get the income from that, if that's the gist of it, if I'm remembering correctly. Rather than towing, and I think the only time that they would tow is if they're like in a fire lane or a handicapped spot, from my understanding.
Or like a habitual.
Right, or a habitual offender, yeah. That was the long UA meeting. So, moving along to new business, there's the term limits resolution that we talked about two meetings ago that Linda proposed extending term limits for officers to being able to renew for a third term rather than just two renewable terms. We put together a resolution. We didn't have time to discuss it last week. Does anybody have any comments or questions or thoughts on it?
Good idea.
Do people want to discuss it? Gemma and I are the only two people right now who have held our current executive positions for two terms, so we would be the only folks potentially immediately able to benefit from this. So would people be comfortable? We could leave the room if people want to discuss, or people are just looking. Okay.
I think it's a good idea. Okay. I think it's really a year to really figure out what you're doing, and then
to,
you know, you're comfortable, and I
don't
think you're just kind of hitting your stride.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm. Bigger
relationships.
And then the fourth year, divorce. Okay, so.
Sorry, I didn't date you, Stuart.
But you did.
There's a recorder.
So, do we want to vote on this? We have 10 people, which is enough to vote. Do we want to vote on this? Do we want to do a written vote, or are we comfortable with hands? Okay. All in favor? Ten in favor? And I think that's all of us here. That's it. Okay. Resolution passed. And we don't need to give this to the president, right, Ari? Not anymore. I think you said we did not have to get this one.
Whatever I said.
Okay. Okay. Moving on to Kudos Luncheon Planning. So originally we had talked about having the Kudos Lunch the last May meeting of the current EA, so it would be the last meeting of the current standing EA. The Statler is not available on that day for our lunch, so we have a couple different options. We can go elsewhere to have our lunch, meaning that, you know, maybe get a room and have something catered in. We can change our date. So
we're also going to talk about mm-hmm. Ari, did you get a chance to see how much money we had in the Kudos area and you ended up moving anything? Otherwise, you know, you probably didn't have time to read the info.
I did not.
Okay.
We have a little koala shut off the budget feature, so.
Oh. Love koala.
The budget wasn't in about a month ago. There's no way to do a budget for the rest of the year, so we had to sort of line it up with a spreadsheet. That wasn't personal.
So right now, I can't remember what's budgeted right now in there. Do you remember? Okay. So what part of the issue is that we've got a lot of kudos, which is a really good thing. It's just going to make for a large lunch, which may be expensive. Counting all of the EA members and all of the people who are kudos, it's about 50 people.
I think last time when we had this kudos, I remember we were in Statler, so this was a small
in one of the small ballrooms, yeah.
We got a lot of chance to interact with each other, so that kind of format might be better, Tanya. That's my personal opinion. Just because you get to know people, just like at the trustees meeting.
Yeah, I think we would definitely stay in that kind of format. It's more of a question of would we try to find another space on campus that we could have, you know, tables and chairs set up. You know, we bring in tables and chairs and then have a caterer come in. So we would still have, you know, groups of tables and opportunities. It just wouldn't be in the Statler unless we changed the date.
I'm all right with changing the date. Do we think we'll have things for the agenda on that day? Usually.
We would probably have some stuff for agenda. Right now, I think the Statler was available Monday and Friday of that same week as an option.
In that week, yeah.
What
week is it?
The week of May 15th, so the 13th through the 17th of May.
Okay.
So that's an option. The question with staying with the Statler may end up being a budgetary one, depending on how many people we have, because Statler is fairly expensive for lunch.
Do we know how much money is left in the awards and recognition?
What's in there now? What's on there now?
Well, $1,600 was the budgeted amount.
Right. The only thing that we pay for out of that is the George Peter Awards, which is about $100 each award. $100 or $150. So we're going to do four, so that'll be $600.
Mm-hmm. There's no guarantee they'll all get in by the end of June.
Right.
$1,000 is a lot of money.
No, do you remember what it cost last time? Did you say
$1,200? Mm, I don't know. But you're saying maybe we could lose money for ourselves.
So that would be something that we would talk about doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we're going to have survey cost.
So I guess my bigger question is, are we willing to change the date? Okay.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Just because if we're not, then the Statler doesn't even matter. Are we, if the Statler's too much, do we want to have a lunch and change our location? Or do we want to have something lesser at the Statler, like hors d'oeuvres or something like that?
Have we been saying the Statler all along in our EA?
I don't think so. I think we just say...
It's in this one.
Well, it's in this one, so I'm wondering if it was in a past one. I mean, but it doesn't... I don't think it makes a big difference.
Right.
No one's going to hold it to it, I don't think.
So... All right, well, we'll take a look at the budget maybe
you and I and, mm-hmm. and Ari can get yeah. together and try and look at the numbers and crunch something together and then go from there. But I'll look at alternate dates, and Bridget, maybe you can help with the doodle poll of other dates that week to see what would work for people, since you know how to do that.
What week are we looking at?
The same week would be the last week of the EA meeting, so the 13th through 17th, something like that.
So then who could make it on that Monday or Friday?
Right.
Monday and Friday?
I think that's what I could email you, Bridget. I'll email you the date. And then maybe some of our Statler cohorts can work out a special price for us. Do we have anyone who can? Well, wait, we got to. How many votes? No. Okay. You wanted to talk about transportation?
Yes. So, I was appointed to the Transportation Hearing Appeals Board, which...
I'm sorry.
Well, I learned a lot more interesting details about transportation. I've got a few bullet points I'd like to share that came out from the general discussion. The board consists of a handful of people, and three of us were new to the board. Essentially, transportation deals with, and don't quote me on my numbers, but probably over 7,000 ticket appeals a year.
Wow.
And only a handful of those will actually come to the board. So their staff have criteria to determine if an appeal is, you know, overturned. A good example for a staff appeal that is usually granted, well, let me first ask you this. How many of you have ever received a parking ticket on campus? Okay, everybody?
Lavonda, you're so good.
How many have appealed that ticket? Appeal, okay, 1 year appeal, okay. One of the examples of an appeal is like, you know, you park in your lot and you forgot your permit for the day. You get a ticket, you call up, and you know, you put it in, they waive that because they obviously the vehicle that was registered is on the ticket. You can, it's a pretty provable thing. They let those things go. But when an appeal occurs, it's up to the board, which does not have anybody from transportation on it, so it really is kind of a jury of your peers of reviewing the facts and the situation around your ticket and determining if it should be overturned. I remember I did mention in the meeting like that we had transportation come out to us in Geneva that one time to talk about the new revised parking permits and everything like that. There's still over 80-some types of permits, and even transportation is confused of the permit types. And when you start to look at the bigger picture on campus of why there are so many permit types, you just got to start going down, listening to their details. Well, this is the, you know, legacy issues around this parking lot and this. One thing they said that is, you know, there's a lot of change going on campus. One interesting bullet point that I did hear is that transportation has definitely seen the impact in the reduction of employees. With 1,000 some less employees, parking lots that were now full are not full. They definitely see the impact as impacting on parking. On the flip side, we've got a lot of new buildings going up, and sometimes parking isn't considered. Case in point, my new building for computing and information science, Gates Hall, which is on the baseball field, that parking lot is just vanishing. Those parking spots are being eliminated. They're not getting moved anywhere. They're not put into the plan. So that, again, continues to constrict parking on campus. Another topic came up about cost. You know, we all complain about the cost of our permit, and don't quote me on the number, but I believe they said that a third of transportation's budget is covered by parking fees, permit fees. So even with everything that we pay, we still don't pay for the cost of the upkeep of the parking lots and the garage. They said one thing that Martha Vann's new parking garage, it costs $80,000 per slot to build that parking garage. So it'll be like 20 years before they recoup the cost of the building of that garage just by permit fees alone. A surface lot, on the other hand, can cost up to $1,500 a year per slot. So again, you're still not even paying. I mean, normally you park to a parking lot, you're the only car there for the day. You know, you're not being charged $1,500 a year for your parking. Mm-hmm. But the upkeep on that spot is still $1,500 a year. So the university is subsidizing all of our parking still. And one really interesting legal question I asked is that we're believed to be one of the only institutions that is granted by law the ability to issue parking tickets. It's actually written into New York State education law. And I asked, well, is that because we're land grants or something? They didn't quite know the answer. But, you know, when you get a ticket on campus, it's enforceable by law. And I asked how they track you down, and, you know, essentially they do have a relationship to contact the DMV and issue, find out your address, send you a ticket. And because I asked the question, what about visitors that come to campus and get lots of tickets and they just don't care? Well, they'll talk to the DMV, they'll get your registration address, they'll email you the ticket, and if you don't pay, it goes to collections. So Cornell is still recouping the money. This coming Monday is going to be a meeting of the new board to go through kind of a mock hearing. So we're going to go through some test cases and, you know, learn the process. And then we got a very scary packet of parking regulations on campus. One of those, if you're having trouble sleeping, read this. So,
thanks for coming. Yeah.
Well, you know, when I first heard 7,000 appeals a year, I was like, oh. And then they said, oh, well, only a few handful of those actually come to the board. So we'll only be meeting a few times a year, if even, to go over any appeals that come that far. But
why
would
they go to the board?
If you appeal, the first thing you do is you go to the office or do it online. They want you mostly to do the appeals online because even if you go to the office, they're not going to grant you a decision right there. Put it in online. One of their staff follows their criteria if the ticket can be overturned. If they issue an appeal, there's a process in one of their brochures and documentation on their website, is you can then have your appeal reviewed by the other staff member in charge of appeals. They don't collaborate on the decision, so the other person can have a fresh look on it. And if they still say no and you still have the ticket, you have the ability to appeal to the board. And then the board reviews the whole case and then, you know, including with photos like, oh, yeah, that sign's not clear or that sign wasn't there or those types of things. And then they make a decision.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any questions for Jason?
I one thing that I thought of is that maybe we may want to have transportation come speak with us again, especially with the newer EA, that, you know, transportation and parking is a big employee concern, and to know a lot more of those talking points of, like, you know, why your fees are what they are, why the parking system is complicated, and to learn more about those things, I think, get a refresher from them.
Well, I think, you know, beyond the EA, it would be helpful if they were to put up something. You know, Cornell should be thinking about putting out something to the effect that says it costs X dollars to maintain each parking spot. You're only paying a fraction of that. I mean, I think it's helpful to hear stuff like that. You know, just to say, you know, you're not solely covering the cost. It would be great if they can get that out to more than.
You know, that's a thought for President's Oak Recognition Award, like the appeals staff at transportation. I mean, what a crappy job.
I think it's two people.
No, it's very small, but I mean,
yeah, that's what they deal with all day.
I mean, I've dealt with them numerous times, and they're really very nice. I mean, you wouldn't want people yelling at you all day.
Well, maybe it's even the people who are out there, you know, checking the lots.
Yeah, good idea.
The whole group of people, yeah.
So I don't think we can pay for tickets anymore via our paycheck. Is that right? Is that feature gone?
Yeah.
think. Is that because you're going to a negative balance?
You know, they know me by name over there when I'm appealing every week about something.
Interesting little tidbit came up. They said some people purposely choose to not get a permit and will park in an obscure parking lot so that maybe they don't get policed, for a better term, that often, and they just pay the parking tickets as they roll in, as they get caught throughout the year, and that's actually cheaper than buying a yearly permit.
Well,
not for those. Fantastic. Where should we park?
Kudos to the very nice parking person who never gives you a ticket.
I got away with for years of using my one-day pass over and over again.
That was
anyone else?
Finally, they started giving me tickets.
Any other recorded confessions?
Come on, David. You got some stuff in your closet. Let's go.
Oh, boy. We're digressing. All right, last thing. Geneva. So the idea that was floated around at the meeting, two meetings ago, I think it was, is we'd originally talked about going to Geneva at the last May meeting and then having our kudos lunch at the June meeting, and that seemed a little backwards because in May it would be the people transitioning off the board who would be going to Geneva, and then the new people would be having a thank you lunch. So so we decided to kind of swap that. So we'll have our thank you lunch in May and then go to Geneva, our June meeting.
I think it was June 20th,
I think it was the June 20th meeting, mm-hmm. of the new EA, and we thought that would be a nice time because hopefully the weather will be nice.
Is that an all day?
Yeah, it would be an all day.
So we've decided definitely on June 20th. We don't need to do another doodle poll or anything like that.
Well, we'll probably want a doodle poll once we know who the EA is, because it won't be this EA.
That is true. Okay.
I mean, we could poll the new people because, but I think once we know, once the elections are over, we know who the new people will be, we can ask those folks. Anything else about Geneva?
No.
Any open forum? David?
I kind of had this radical thought today while we were sitting here that maybe we could think about, or I could like write something up or whatever, but what if every staff member was automatically a member of the employee assembly and this body became like the executive committee, and the executive committee was like the senior executive? Would there be advantages to that for us? Would people feel more involved? Would people have more knowledge of us? You know what I mean? Like, every staff member is a member of the employees. Therefore, they have the voice that we are for them anyway. You know what I mean? And then
right.
We could still have our elections, and like people who wanted to be part of this group, executive group, could do that. Like, nothing would really change except everyone would be included.
So basically, I think that what you're trying to get to is we need a marketing kind of, I don't want to say a gimmick, but a notion of saying you are the employee assembly. Just by being an employee, you are the employee assembly. We're your elected representatives, but you are the employee assembly.
I think there's something
else. Yeah.
Maybe it's because we were thinking about, like, you know, orientation. When you come here and you're new and, like, you just get a flyer that said, as an employee, you're automatically a member of the employee assembly. That is. Plus, I felt bad for Gary because he said his plan failed.
I appreciate the sympathy.
But I don't know, something to think about, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, why don't you put something down? Some thoughts down. Or you want me to ask Mary to do that?
Ask Mary. Yeah, I'll write something down.
All right.
I'll keep the
stick this
up
in there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts? Are we going to end early?
It's okay.
Tell everybody to vote.
Oh, don't forget to vote.
And if you can send out
things. You have intra department.
Yeah, intra.
Emails to remind people to vote within your department.
All right. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.